It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kaysen. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kaysen.
A good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn. And today, during the holiday season, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. Joining me, as usual, usually, is Kerry Kaysen, my co-host. Happy holidays, Kerry. Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas. Well, you know what? Your Happy Hanukkah left a few weeks ago.
Well, that's okay.
So, yeah, sorry about that. But yeah, Christmas is great. And
good.
50% off my Christmas shopping will be happening after today.
And you know what I am doing after today's show? I'm going to see a movie.
Are you going to finally see Star Wars?
No, I'm not. I'm not seeing Star Wars.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. Just growing up in Canada, I just wasn't that into Star Wars.
Okay.
Sorry.
I hear the music, I start to cry. I watch the stupid trailers, I start to cry. I think because when I was a kid, my dad took us to see every single film in the theaters. I remember going over and over with my father, waiting in line because there was no seats you could actually buy then. But my brother, every morning before we went to school for years, I would hear da 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 da. He played his VHS tape,
Kerry,
every day. Yes,
Kerry.
Yes,
I led you into the topic of the show today, and you went astray.
It's very upsetting. You won't go see Star Wars. Very upsetting.
That's old news. Star Wars is old news. What's new news is the movie that I'm going to see is Concussion. And unfortunately,
yes,
I didn't get a chance to see it before today's show because we are going to talk about the very, very real serious topic of concussion,
yeah,
which is the movie starring Will Smith, who is playing Bennett Omalu, who is the doctor, the forensic pathologist, who fought against the efforts by the National Football League to suppress his research on the brain damage suffered by professional football players. And, of course, we're talking about CTE, which is chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is CTE in short. And we are fortunate today to have with us people, athletes, and a lawyer who have had very close, specific experience with the concussion litigations that have taken place both in the NHL and the NFL. Later on in the show, we're going to have with us Paul Anderson, who is the go-to guy. That's what they say, the go-to guy on concussion litigation. He's from Kansas City, Missouri. And we'll also be joined by Marvin Washington, who is a retired NFL star defensive lineman, having played a total of 11 years in the league and was named by Sports Illustrated as one of the 50 best New York Jets of all time. He's going to talk about his experience with concussions and how he is doing now. Now, to start the show, we are turning to a sport that's near and dear to my heart. And, of course, we are the flagship station of the L.A. Kings, 790 KBC. And we are welcoming back to L.A., even though he's not in L.A., former Los Angeles Kings, one of the beloved here, Bernie Nichols. Bernie, welcome to Gervie's Law.
I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
So a lot of people heard that you're going to be on the show, and people who are in their 40s and 50s and maybe 60s remember you here. You played for the L.A. Kings, and, of course, you played for about five other teams, but you had some really amazing seasons. You're one of only eight players in the NHL to score 70 goals in one season, and, of course, you had that big season where you scored about 150 points, and here you are now in the news talking about what has happened with you and your experiences with concussions. How did that come about?
Well, I think I was asked to do it from a group of attorneys out of L.A. I think maybe after the football, members of the NFL went after the NFL for because of their concussions. I think hockey just follows suit. For me, when I was asked, it's easy for me to do something if if I've went through it and I've experienced it. So because of what I go through on a daily basis, I think it makes it easy for me to talk about it, and it made it easy for me to join the concussion lawsuit.
And, of course, you're talking about the 2013 class action suit, approximately 80 former players involved, including some well-known players, at least in the hockey circles, Dave Christian, Gary Lehman, Reed Larson, Mike Peluso. Now, tell us about that class action suit. You got involved. What's the status of it now?
Well, I think they've deposed the commissioner. I think it's going very well. I know I got it. I'm going to be examined later on this month. I think
you're going to have your deposition taken.
January. Yeah.
Where will that be taken?
It will be taken in Los Angeles. So, you know, I've been through this before. I've seen doctors, so it's not going to be too hard for me to do it again.
Right.
Like I said, it's easy for me to tell my side because of what I've been through. So I think we're coming along really well. I think all the steps have been taken, and it's going well for us right now.
Isn't it true, though, that Gary Bettman, in his infinite wisdom, which I don't think he has any, but says somewhere he was quoted as saying that there's no statistical correlation where they can definitively make the conclusion that the blows to the head have resulted in this type of CTE and the damage that we're seeing players, former players, and also, of course, in the NFL, we're seeing a lot of it. Did you ever read that statement by Gary Bettman?
Not necessarily that one. I've heard other things from people from the NHL saying I didn't know that Gary had his doctors. I didn't know he was that qualified to
right.
talk like that. But, I mean, I guess what else can he say? You know, I think he's trying to defend the NHL, but if you look at what they're doing now.
Bernie, just a second here. He can say the truth. I don't understand. You know, I understand what you're saying, and you're being diplomatic. But let's face it. This movie comes out. People understand what's going on in the NFL. The NHL is a
right.
heavy body contact sport. Why can't the NHL or the NFL admit that there's been a correlation between the blows to the head and what we're seeing now?
Money, 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 money.
Well, you know what? I think they are in a roundabout way. They've changed it now. The NFL, the NHL, anytime a kid gets hit now, gets a stinger to the head, they have to pass a concussion test before they can even play
right.
again. They go right to the quiet room. So obviously they realize that the way it was in the past was wrong. They're kind of admitting to it in a roundabout way. Obviously Gary's not going to come right out and say it, but everybody else has said it for him, doctors, people that are a lot smarter than we are, and Gary included, doctors that understand that what these kids go through when you get hit in the head, there has to be something done about it. Like I said, the NHL changed. They got a concussion in place for all players. So obviously doing that, it just tells you that they didn't do what was right for us in the past, so they're doing what's right now. And like I said, they got it right now. So I think they're kind of admitting to it just in a roundabout way.
Now, you know, I went and saw the Kings play about 20 years ago. I mean, I've seen them, but
so you saw Pumpernickels.
Yeah. I definitely. I you know, I did. You know, Kelly Rudy, all those guys.
Did he love the way he pumped his fist when he scored?
You know, I just went with a friend who was a fanatic, still is, still goes to every game.
Chris, Bella.
Bella. Yes, you know her. So I remember her explaining to me, she said, you know, most of the guys had helmets on, and then there were the few that didn't. I said, well, why aren't these guys, well, they're grandfathered in. They don't have to. They started playing when there was not a time you had to wear a helmet. Are there any statistics now that show that when, you know, from when you guys didn't have the helmets on to now, having helmets, if that's helped at all?
Well, you know what? I honestly think players are dirtier now when they have helmets on than when they didn't.
Wow.
Right.
I've never seen guys get hit from behind into the boards head first. As many, you know, elbows to the head, shoulder. When guys are hitting guys, body checking guys to the head, they never used to do that as much in the past. Now it's more violent now than it ever was. And I just think guys had more respect for players when they didn't have helmets on. They tried to keep the sticks down. Obviously, they were still fighting and stuff, but you didn't see as much dirty play back in the day as you do now.
And I totally agree with that, Bernie. I'm about your age, and I grew up playing hockey in Winnipeg, and I used to wear the little small Spalding helmet that barely covered
your...
You know the one, barely covered your head.
Yeah.
And then as I grew up and played into my teens, I, you know, was putting on the bigger helmet, the Bauer helmet and everything. And, yes, the play got a lot rougher, not because I was just getting older. It's because people, you know, apparently they thought that they had license to just go after each other.
Yeah, I think less respect. Like, they try so hard from the hitting from behind. And almost every game, someone's hitting someone from behind into the boards, and I don't understand it to this day how they still do that. We didn't do that as much. You know, I really think that we had more respect for players in the past than they do now. Really
yeah,
do.
I agree. Now we have to take a quick break. Bernie, can you stay with us for another segment?
Absolutely.
Great. Okay, so we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little more about the litigation. We're going to talk about some of former players who unfortunately have died. And we also want to talk about what Bernie Nichols is doing now. You're listening to Gervie's Law. Carrie, we're going to be right back after this message.
Did you know a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-400-4387.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs with no hassle. Never have to clean your machine by hand again. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer, only available by calling 1-800-400-4387. That's 1-800-400-4387.
If you suffer with sleep apnea and you're tired of dragging around your bulky CPAP device when you travel, now you can sleep in total comfort anywhere with Transcend, the world's first mini CPAP. Transcend is as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. Even better, if you have money in a flexible medical spending account, you could get a Transcend without taking a penny from your pocket. But you must act before the end of the year or you may lose that money forever. So call MiniCPAP.com now to try Transcend risk-free for 10 days. 1-800-900-2023. Transcend is so small you can fit it in your briefcase or purse. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Use your flex dollars now to enjoy the freedom to sleep anywhere before they disappear. Call MiniCPAP.com for your 10-day trial. 1-800-900-2023. 1-800-900-2023.
Worst American, worst American.
College kids in 2015 are the worst Americans ever.
Really
this
bad.
Yale story is
which one?
Mind-blowing.
The repeal the First Amendment because something you say may be offensive to minorities.
It's the most unbelievably asinine thing I've ever seen, and this is real.
Stop it. The narcissistic focus on me is what's ruining everything.
Dr. Drew, Midday Live. Psycho Mike Catherwood. Weekdays, noon to 3 on KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, we are back. I'm Alan Gervie. I'm here with Carrie Kasem on this holiday weekend, and we are talking about the movie Concussion. A lot of people have waited a long time to see it. There's a lot of interest here because of the NFL and, of course, the NHL. But the movie is about the NFL, what the NFL knew, what they didn't know, who was working on behalf of the NFL to suppress the information, the research of the brain damage suffered by professional football players. Later on in the show, we will have Paul Anderson, who is an attorney with the Clayman Law Firm in Kansas City. He's going to talk about the NFL and about concussion law. We're also going to have Marvin Washington, a retired NFL star defensive lineman, mostly with the New York Jets. He's going to talk about his experience with concussions and how he's been feeling. Right now, we are talking about my favorite sport, hockey. Bernie Nichols is on the line. And for those of you in Los Angeles listening, everyone knows Bernie Nichols. Bernie, before the break, we were talking about the effects in the NHL, and I want you to talk about the unfortunate death that we've seen. Todd Ewan recently, Derek Bogard, Steve Montador. Is there a connection between CTE and these deaths?
Well, I think the NHL is probably going to tell you no. Doctors are probably going to tell you yes. All these kids, we lost four kids one summer, and then now just Todd. If you look at their career, they were all tough guys. They all fought. They all took a lot of blows to the head. They've all had concussions. Some people, maybe Gary, the league's going to say it didn't have anything to do with their death, but I think the majority of the people, doctors, people a lot smarter than us, are going to tell you that absolutely the concussions, the blows to the head, had a lot to do with what happened to these kids. And, you know, for us, that's just devastating to lose.
And I agree with you.
At such a young age.
I don't think it's a coincidence that these guys have been, you know, right in the thick and thin of heavy blows to the head. We're not talking about some of the finesse players, although I'm sure they took their licks as well. But these are guys that day in and day out were asked to go on the ice and fight, or at least be rough and tough, because that was their role. And there's consistency, at least with the four guys that we're talking about. Now, as far as the concussion litigation goes, have you looked down the list of players? How many of them do you know, and how many of them do you know what their condition is now?
I've seen some of them, and I played with some of them. You know, some guys don't want to be named, some guys do. Some of the guys that I know, I've seen play, I've seen fight, I've seen had blows to the head. The one kid on there, he got hit by a slap shot in the head by Al McGinnis, who shoots as hard as anybody.
Yep.
Mike Caluso's on there. I seen Mike get knocked out in Quebec one night in a fight, spent the night in the hospital.
What about Dave Christian, though? He wasn't a real tough guy from War Road, Minnesota.
No, right. Dave was more of a skilled player, but he would take blows to the head. And, you know, I've never played with Dave, so I've never seen any of his. But, you know, obviously he's on there for a reason, and I'm sure he's got enough blows to the head to – have a couple concussions.
Now, the Journal of the Canadian Chiropractic Association said that in the NHL in any given season, there can be 64 to 74 concussions. Does that sound about right, or do you think that's a little low?
Oh, that could be right for sure. Obviously, I wouldn't know that. But, I mean, like when I played, I can tell you times I get hit, and they never diagnosed me as a concussion. I broke my jaw one night in Chicago, or in Calgary, and they never said I had a concussion. You know, I'm pretty sure if I get hit that hard in the jaw to break it, I probably got a concussion.
How are you doing personally now? How do you feel now?
My biggest problem, I get dizzy every day. Mm. My memory is not good. I forget a lot of stuff. I run through, like, I have a problem when I lay down, and it will come and go, and it's back right now. Once I lay down, if I lay down and I put my head down on the right side, I will get spinny. I'll have to lift my head up, but I'll get dizzy. Like, Like, that is on a daily basis. Or if I look up, I get dizzy. So, and your memory, like, I meet people that I played with that I should know, family members, and I don't even remember their names. And that part's really frustrating, you know, like, you're embarrassed. You should know that. You know, they laugh, my mom and them, like, my mom will send me to the store to pick up two things, and the store is a mile away, and I'll get there, and I'll forget something.
Now, is there any hope on the horizon? I know that there's stem cell research, and I know that they've been doing this, whether in the States or not. You know, people have actual islands dedicated to stem cell research because some of it's illegal here. Have you talked about to any of these people? Have you talked about, you know, kind of trying to regenerate?
Yeah, I have not. I've had someone that said that they would do a study on my head for me. Kind of scares me, you know.
Sure.
I'm not sure. Like, obviously, if I think that they could help, I would absolutely do it. But you're just afraid that, you know, if there's something just going the wrong way there, you know, do you really want to know? So
sure,
it just makes you nervous at times, right?
Absolutely.
Now, when you think about some of your former teammates here in L.A., for instance, have you had any discussions with some of those guys that you played with?
Well, like, I did play with Todd Ewing. I played with him in San Jose.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and to see, like, a former player, like, it's just so tough. You know, some of the other kids, Bob Probert, even though Bob's was a different issue, but
yeah.
Just when you see that, like I said, most of the guys now, I was fortunate to work with the Kings in 2012, and but what they got in place now for the guys, it's great. You know, they're really looking after them, and I think that's unbelievable. But
so tell us,
know, some of our...
I was going to say, because you mentioned, you know, when you were working with the Kings in 2012, that was Stanley Cup year, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah.
And tell us a little bit about what happens when someone gets a blow to the head. Do they go out? Are they forced to go out on their next shift, or do they go back into the quiet room and have the testing done?
Yeah, they... any kind of stinger to the head, like, it's unbelievable. Like, I've seen people before get knocked, you know, silly, and they just sit them on the bench, and when their head clears, they're back out. But now, and when I got there, Simone Gagné, he couldn't play because he couldn't pass the test, and he was there the whole time because I came in January. He was there right through the playoffs. He, you know, he kept practicing and he kept trying, but he could never pass the test to come back, so they wouldn't let him play. And you know, so anytime a guy gets hit, if you see him leave the bench and head back, then you know he's gone to the quiet room, and
yeah.
He goes in there, the doctors check him out, and if he passes the test, he can come back and play. But if he can't, and it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter if you're the best player in the team, how bad they need you, if you can't pass it, you can't play. And, you know, that's the way it should be.
Yeah,
now,
he's
really looking out for them.
Bernie, have you filed a workers' compensation claim based on this?
I'm doing the I'm in with the concussion lawsuit, yes.
Okay, but you know, in California the law says that the teams have to provide you with a claim form when you're injured, and I'm sure back when you played you never were provided a claim form after you were knocked around.
No.
And is there ever talk amongst the players that, hey, you know, if they didn't give us the and follow the law, that we should be pursuing these injuries, both from a litigation for the concussion lawsuit, which is a class action suit, plus an individual workers' compensation claim?
We did the workman's comp. I did that one a few years ago in L.A. So I did that.
Right.
Go
ahead.
So I did that one. No, I did that one. And a few players did that, but it worked better for the players that played in California because it was kind of a California thing.
That's right.
I was forced to do that. Yeah.
So
and
Matt,
we got they canceled that too, which is funny because the players pay for that.
Yes.
You know, we pay for that, and then they turn around and try not to let us.
Absolutely.
When,
absolutely.
You know,
there's insurance for that.
That's right. Yeah.
It's crazy how these multi-million dollar companies, and teams are included, of course, are able to basically you know, have their way with players. They're almost a commodity and a piece of meat, and you know, they get what they can out of them, and then they throw them to the curb.
Well, that's the problem that I ran into. You know, you do what you can. Players, for the most part, and speaking from myself, you know, I broke both my feet, my ankle, separated my shoulder, lacerated my spleen, broken jaw. Like, I would freeze. I froze my feet to play to help the team.
Wow.
You know, or froze my wrist, anything to help the team.
Yeah.
But, you know, when this comes around, then the team kind of forgets what you did.
That's
for
right.
For them. You know what I mean? Like, now
exactly.
That you're done or you can't help them, then
they don't
they
care because
kind of
you're
right.
not making money for them,
there's
even
no
though
loyalty,
at one
right.
time
yes.
you had 70 goals in one season. And you remember Bobby Bond back in, what was the early 1962,
sure.
when he played, you know, with
leg.
A broken leg. I mean,
yeah.
that's dedication.
Wow.
That's right. And players do that. They do whatever it takes
whatever
for
it
them
takes.
To play.
And this
then,
is what they get. Now, have you seen
right.
the concussion movie?
I have not.
You better go see it.
Yeah, I'm going to for sure.
You have to see it.
Yeah.
We have to take a break, but I want to thank you, Bernie. Bernie Nichols, former L.A. Kings, thank you for being on Gervie's Law. We appreciate your candid comments, and we wish you all the best throughout this litigation, and hopefully your health will improve and that you will not suffer like you seemingly have on a daily basis.
Yes.
So I appreciate that. Thank you both.
All right, happy holidays.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Gervie's Law.
Pop quiz for all business owners. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business, which one of these can you lose? Your home, your car, or your life savings? The answer? All three. Because if you're not incorporated, it's not just your business that can be sued, it's you too. Which means you could lose everything. Once business owners realize the risk of not being incorporated, they usually scramble to incorporate or form an LLC. To make it quick and easy, Incorporate.com is now giving away a free incorporation guide to all business owners, so you can incorporate in just 10 minutes. For your free 10-minute incorporation guide, call now. 1-800-969-5334. Protect your financial future. At Incorporate.com, they don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating or forming an LLC quick and easy. Call now for your free 10-minute incorporation guide. 1-800-969-5334. Hurry while supplies last. 1-800-969-5334. That's 1-800-969-5334.
Sample comes with a 90-day order. Copays and deductibles may apply.
If you or someone you care for are using painful urinary catheters, Medical Direct Club can help. There's a new catheter that hurts less, and you can get a free sample with free shipping by calling now. Pain and urinary tract infections can be avoided if you're using urinary catheters. The new disposable catheters from Medical Direct Club hurt less due to an incredible new design that reduces pain by gliding easily and effortlessly. Old catheters can scrape and cut, causing pain and infection. These new catheters from Medical Direct Club are changing the lives of people who use urinary catheters. Medicare and your insurance will pay for up to 200 of these new catheters per month at little or no cost to you. Medical Direct Club handles all of the paperwork with your doctor and includes lifetime free shipping when you join. Membership and a free sample are free, so call Medical Direct Club now, 1-800-600-1127. That's 1-800-600-1127. End painful caffeine today. Call 1-800-600-1127.
The Kings are on a mission to reclaim their throne.
Kopitar wins the draw. Muzzin pulls the trigger on a shot. He scores!
Don't miss a second of the action as the Kings go for their third cup in 5 years.
Defaulted to the net, shoots, scores!
Kings, Coyotes, tonight at 5:30 on your home for Kings Hockey, 790 KABC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie and Kerry Kaysen now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Kerry, we are right here in Los Angeles on December 26th, day after Christmas.
Who works the day after Christmas?
I don't know about that, but we are talking about concussions, of all things. We are supposed to be in the merry, merry mode of Christmas season. But there are some issues, especially legal issues, because I am a lawyer, that are so much more important. No, that's not true. Celebrating the holidays is important.
You know, my brother has been hit several times in the head, starting when he was a very young kid, dropped on his head. And then from all the sports he's played, with bats, with balls, with, I mean, everything you can think of, including a bad ski accident, he's been knocked out several times. He had to go get an MRI, and they said, stop playing sports. You have a piece of dead brain tissue. And from all the concussions, he can have some major problems as he gets older. They told him, the doctor said, don't play sports, and if you have to, wear a helmet at all times.
Wow.
So we, I mean.
And he's not a professional. He is a DJ in Singapore, isn't
he? Is now, but he played sports. He could have gone professional.
That's what we all say. Yeah, I played hockey growing up, played football. I could have been a pro.
He was so good.
But, you know, we got to be real serious about this because the movie came out. Everyone was waiting for this movie, Concussion, Will Smith. And it's brought to light so many issues. Now, we've been hearing for years now on concussions in the NFL and the NHL and in some other contact sport leagues. And now we have this movie. Have you seen Concussion?
I have not seen Concussion. I am going to see Concussion. But, you know, doing the show with you and doing radio for so long, talking to people who've had this, talking, I mean, even, you know, people in the NHL and people in the NFL, that deal with concussions and how bad it is, the suicides that have happened because of it.
Right, and we're going to talk about that. So, folks, you want to listen to this. Unfortunately, I have a sad note because on this show, not too long ago, a couple years ago, we had Fred McNeil on the show, who unfortunately passed away on November 3rd, 2015. He was one of my childhood heroes playing for the Minnesota Vikings, and, of course, he played linebacker for UCLA right here in town. And we had him on the show with his ex-wife, Tia, who had been taking care of him, and their attorney, Ron Feinberg. And we talked about concussions, and he had a really tough time of it. He became an attorney, and just a short while ago, unfortunately, passed away. So this is an important subject that people need to hear about, and we're happy to talk about it so that we can increase the understanding and the exposure of concussion. The movie obviously has done it. I haven't seen it yet, but I promise you I'm going to see it as soon as I can. It's an area that interests me, and we are fortunate today to have with us one of the top attorneys in the concussion legislation. In concussion litigation, and one of the go-to guys, really, when we talk about litigation in the NFL and concussion, Paul Anderson, is an attorney with the Clayman Law Firm in Kansas City, Missouri, and we are joined as well by Marvin Washington. A lot of people will remember Marvin Washington. He is a retired NFL defensive lineman. He played mostly with the New York Jets, but also with the Denver Broncos and San Francisco 49ers, was a member of the Broncos' 98 Super Bowl winning team. And he was voted by Sports Illustrated as one of the top 50 best New York Jets of all time, actually number 36. Both are outspoken about concussions in the NFL. Paul Anderson and Marvin Washington, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hi, thank you for having me.
There you are.
There you go. Hi.
Now, Paul, you're in Kansas.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have both of you. Paul, you're in Kansas City. And Marvin, where are you?
I'm in Manhattan, New York.
Manhattan, New York. So I want to start with you, Paul. You have been very involved with the concussion litigation, representing a number of former players, possibly players who have retired recently, but mostly we hear about from the past because we know that this condition that the NFL has been real reluctant to tie together to the repeated blows that football players take. Tell us, have you seen the movie Concussion?
Yes, I have. And in fact, I mean, it really drives home the point that repetitive brain trauma in football can cause CTE. And I think the acronym CTE is going to become a household name. I think parents are going to have to take a step back and consider whether it's worth the risk of their child playing football. Studies are emerging on a daily basis that are alarming to many. And we have to figure out how to make this game safer. whether that's limiting contact until you're a certain age or what have you. And we also got to protect the guys that built this game into what it is today, such as guys like Marvin and several of my clients.
Right.
And I think the people that go out, get a chance to see concussion, will realize that the lawsuits are not about a bunch of retired players complaining, but rather what it's about is the NFL's years and decades of denial. And I think this movie really drives home that point.
And when you say CT, of course you're talking about chronic traumatic encephalopathy. People don't need to say that long title because, like you say, CTE is going to become, I think, common in vernacular of discussions of the concussion litigation. Now, in the movie, we have the doctor played by Will Smith, Bennett Omalu, who seems to think that the NFL is suppressing the research on the brain damage that's suffered by professional football players. What have you found out? Again, it's a movie. It's an entertaining movie, interesting movie. But what have you discovered from your perspective in terms of real-life medical research that ties the two together?
Right. Well, first of all, I mean, the movie is factually accurate, 100%. And in regard to the discovery of CTE and what scientists have known, CTE really dates back to the 1920s, and it was first identified in boxers. It was called punch trunk syndrome. And then in the 1930s, the NCAA was publishing in their handbook stating specifically that repetitive head trauma in football can lead to punch drunk syndrome. And then all of a sudden, poof, it just disappeared from science altogether, and it wasn't talked about again until 2002, whenever Dr. Bennett Omalu made the discovery of CTE in the first NFL player, and that was Mike Webster. And then whenever Dr. Omalu published his study, he went to the NFL and said, hey, I found this disease. Let's wake up. Let's try to prevent this from happening. The NFL didn't accept that. They turned it around and said, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. This disease only affects boxers. It doesn't affect football players. So the NFL then created and published numerous studies that flat out denied the link between repetitive head trauma and later life cognitive decline. And Marvin can tell you exactly, you know, how that has affected his life. And the fact that he was never warned about the long-term risk of CTE.
You know, I this happens not just with CTE and not just repetitive brain trauma. This happens a lot. When there's money to lose, you know, they will deny, deny, deny. Whether it's vets coming back with some kind of syndrome, they, you know, somebody's denying, or whether it's whatever it may be, people don't want to pay for. What's going to happen? And let me ask you this for people that don't know and people that are listening. How many times do you have to be hit in the head for this to happen?
13.
You're exactly right. Let me just touch on one point, and it's what you said about basically referring to the industry. I mean,
yeah.
This is the industry's playbook, and we call it the manufacture of doubt. It's exactly what tobacco did. It's what the asbestos industry has done. But, yeah, to get to your point, science is still out on that issue. That's why limiting the amount of exposure is necessary. We do not know how many hits it'll take before you start having this progressive brain damage. What I can tell you is science has identified CTE in athletes that only played high school football. They've identified it in college athletes, and of course they've identified it in NFL players. But I want to caution you, I'm not saying just because your child has played in Pop Warner, just because they've played in middle school, and just because they played in high school that they're going to get CTE. We currently don't know. One thing about CTE is right now we can only diagnose it after you're dead. Postmortem.
Right,
so unfortunately, that's one major issue that science is trying to find right now, and I think we're just a few years away from being able to diagnose CTE in the living.
And isn't that why Dave Duerson and Junior Seau apparently shot themselves in the chest rather than the head, because they were aware that their brains would be evaluated after their deaths?
Yes, according to at least Dave Duerson's suicide note, we don't know what his intentions were, but his suicide note certainly said, "Please see that my brain is examined at the NFL's brain bank," and it was examined. But I can also tell you that by personal experience, we represent the estate of Javon Belcher, and he was the current NFL player,
right,
who tragically murdered his girlfriend and then went to the Chiefs facility and killed himself.
You know, I remember that day. I was on the air when that occurred, and it was so bizarre. Of course, Kansas City, you being a Kansas City guy, you were right there, and it was a Saturday when that occurred, and that was bizarre, the whole behavior. And you know, you've got, it begs the question of exactly what led to that.
Right, and he, despite him shooting himself in the head, we were able to have his brain analyzed, and he did have CTE. So, and Andre Waters is another person. So people have shot themselves. You know, this is a terrible and horrific thing to even speak about, but it's the reality and the facts that we're dealing with. So whether you shoot yourself in the chest or the head, which we hope that never has to happen again for any player, science has still been able to diagnose CTE.
We have to take a quick break, but after the break, I want to talk to Marvin. Marvin Washington, retired NFL star defensive lineman. I want to get his perspective of how this has impacted his life since retirement. Because, again, what Paul Anderson is talking about is mostly these conditions are developing over time. So while we do see them from time to time, after a short career, perhaps only college or high school, the NFL players that we're talking about now, the great majority of them have been experiencing symptoms as time passes. We're talking to Paul Anderson, attorney with Klayman Law Firm in Kansas City, Missouri, and the go-to guy on concussion litigation, as well as Marvin Washington, former NFL star. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We'll be right back.
The LA Kings Holiday Gift Pack is the perfect present this holiday season. Packs start at just $95 and include two tickets to an LA Kings game and your choice of a Bailey Bleacher creature doll and keychain set or a four-piece LA Kings etched glassware set. Get yours now at lakings.com/holidaypack or call 1-888-KINGS-LA. That's lakings.com/holidaypack or call 1-888-KINGS-LA.
790 KABC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
We are back. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm Alan Gervie, and I am here with Carrie Kasem, and we are talking about concussions. Of course, the movie starring Will Smith, Concussion, came out yesterday. A lot of people have been running to the theater, especially football fans, and the NFL is a hugely, hugely popular sport, more so than NBA, NHL probably combined, notwithstanding some of the shoddy refereeing this year, but that's another story. I'm not going to get into that.
That's on your sports show, Al.
Yeah, that's on my sports show. We're talking to Marvin Washington and Paul Anderson. Paul Anderson is an attorney with the Klayman Law Firm in Kansas City, and he is the go-to guy on concussion litigation. At least that's what they say. Marvin Washington, you played a number of years. You retired in 1999. You won a Super Bowl. Now you have been outspoken on a number of issues, including the concussion issue that has been in the media for a long time now. Tell us what your experience has been. First of all, just from a player's perspective.
My experience from a player's perspective is, I retired in 2000, so I want to get the three decades in from the 80s to 90s to the 2000s. My perspective from concussions is, I think we were trying to guinea pig, and we didn't know anything about concussions. I don't know what the NFL knew, but I knew they knew more than what they were saying. And if you see the movie, go see the movie, and it'll tell you about what the NFL knew. And they've known about this issue for years, but they didn't give it out to their members, which is the NFLPA. There's no concussion protocol. To treat concussions with smelling salt, holding up two fingers. If you had a concussion, if you had a cognitive issue, you can go into the game. And then when they formed a concussion committee, it was headed by Dr. Elliot Hellman, who was a rheumatologist who graduated from the University of Guadalajara. Dr. Payson, and I think there was two athletic trainers and three equipment guys. And that was the era that I played in. Concussions were like a matter of your manhood. Like,
right.
You can get over it or you can't.
Well, let me ask you this, Marvin. Now, you bring up some good points. How do you respond to someone who says, dude, you assume the risk. You are a star player. Why are you owed anything by the NFL? And believe me, I'm not taking that position, but we hear it all the time, assumption of the risk. It's a legal issue.
Well, here's the whole thing. The NFL is already over 100 years old. So if you want to take it from, you know, in their inception, from the, you know, the early part of last century, all the way up until 2005, right, when the NFL finally completed CTE, all professional football players and college football players, high school football players, we knew that we would leave the game with orthopedic injury.
Yep.
Nobody knew that we would leave with the disease. And CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, is a disease. Nobody told us that.
So the point is, I was going to say, the point is that there were certain risks. When we talk about assumption of the risk, we're talking about risks that were tangible that you knew of at the time, and that's changed now, but CTE wasn't something that was in the vernacular that would allow people to be hesitant about knocking heads.
No, we didn't know about it. Nobody knew. We knew we would leave the game with orthopedic injury, torn ligament, stress muscle, whatever it is, deformed hands, fingers, whatever. We never knew we would leave this game with the disease. That's the whole deal. And I talked to, like, ex-players, people in NFLPA, and the whole question is, when does the NFL know it, and what did they know? We seem to believe that they knew it a lot earlier, but they didn't give it to us. I believe in the future, and players now, they will be able to make a educated choice. And I'm not only talking about the player. I'm talking about the football mom, football dad, Pop Warner to high school to college. They'll be able to make an educated decision on wherever they want their son play this game and capture this disease, because we did not know.
Paul, I want to ask Paul, because Marvin makes an excellent point. Have things changed now? Do you agree with what Marvin's saying, that now perhaps assumption of the risk would be a defense by the NFL, whereas in the past that really wasn't an issue? And also, of course, we know that the protocol now is far, far more advanced, and there is concern, at least to some degree, by the NFL that didn't exist in the past.
Well, my answer would be the jury's still out on that. And the reason why I say that is the NFL still is not accepting the fact that there is this link. So I think right there, if the NFL doesn't accept it, how can the players accept it? Moreover, you look at the recent retirement of Chris Borland. In some of the interviews he said he didn't even know about CTE. He had to go out and do his own independent study. It wasn't his team. It wasn't the NFL. It wasn't the Players Association that was telling him about it. But rather, it was him going out doing his own independent investigation.
But doesn't that work potentially against the players when someone like Chris Borland retires at such a young age with, you know, his whole career ahead of him, saying that, you know, now he knows and he didn't know before? Doesn't that suggest that perhaps the NFL has a defense because people are retiring, or at least an isolated case because of the issue?
As it relates to Chris, I mean, perhaps, if he were to pursue a lawsuit, he'd probably need to bring it right now whenever he discovered it. But as for the other people, you know, they could say that they were still in the dark, and if they were to sue their employer, if they're able to get around whatever workers' compensation barriers they were, the employer is the one that has the obligation to inform their employees about the latent risk of the job. And if these employees can say, hey, I wasn't the one that was in a superior position of knowledge. It was my employer that was supposed to inform me. But you are right to a certain extent, you know, especially with concussion coming out, it's becoming a household name. Players are going to have a much more difficult time unless that they can prove that the NFL is misrepresenting or the teams are misrepresenting the link.
Right. And
players are going to have a much more difficult time. But
no, go ahead.
Okay, but I was going to say, I certainly do think, as it relates to players, you know, probably that played in 2013 and later, going further back, I think the retirements of Chris Borland and other players bolsters the retired players' cases.
Yes.
The guys that played before 2013, because now you're seeing a direct change in behavior. Whenever these players are actually educated and told about, or at least provided with information, whether it's coming from the NFL or where have you, you can see that their behavior is being modified.
Right.
And that is they're able to engage in this risk-benefit analysis.
And there's
time of continuing to play in football if I'm going to potentially have this long-term brain disease.
So what you're saying,
a lot of the players, as we're seeing now, are starting to say it's not worth it. And then on the other hand, of course, a lot of players are saying absolutely it's worth the risk.
So what you're saying is that it's an informed decision where in the past it may not have been. You brought in the issue of workers' compensation. In California, employers and football teams, professional football teams, our employers have 24 hours to provide a claim form to an injured person when someone is injured on the job. If they don't, under the Reynolds case, the statute of limitation is tolled. So now there has been a lot of media attention, a lot of notoriety of the concussion lawsuits. So employers, specifically the teams, should be more aware of their obligation to provide workers' compensation claim forms for people who are injured. And we know, as a matter of fact, that doesn't happen, does it?
Absolutely. I mean, it doesn't happen at all. In fact, in Missouri, we're in a somewhat unique area. In Missouri, we had a small window, and that's where we brought all of our claims for our retired players, is that our retired players who were suffering from these occupational diseases, such as repetitive brain trauma and neurodegenerative diseases from football,
right.
We weren't our exclusive remedy wasn't workers' compensation. So we were able to file tort claims directly against the Kansas City Chiefs, directly against the St. Louis football Cardinals, for these specific injuries, and our exclusive remedy wasn't to be pushed into workers' comp. So now, in the next couple of years, as we move forward in these cases, we're going to be able to present our case to a jury, where a jury can decide whether the employer is liable, and if so, how much these players should be provided for in compensation.
Paul, we got to wrap it up, but what do you think, finally, in 30 seconds or less, the concussion movie, how is that going to impact the work that you're doing on behalf of retired NFL players in the litigation cases?
Well, first of all, you know, in a perfect society, you know, we wouldn't have to file lawsuits. And that would mean that everybody does what they're supposed to do. So I think that concussion moves the ball forward to, one, realizing, letting the world realize and know that the NFL did a major wrong on these players. But the NFL is now taking steps forward to try to protect the players, and that is through education of these players and letting them know that you know there is this long-term risk, and it's up to them whether they want to engage in football. But you know, it also brings the next major societal question: is should your children play football? And I'm not here to preach that one way or the other.
That is a great question, Paul, and unfortunately we're going to have to leave it there. Should your children play football? We'll have to have you back on another time to discuss that issue. Unfortunately, Marvin Washington, his call was dropped, so I want to thank Marvin Washington for being on Gervie's Law, as well as Paul Anderson. Some really important discussion about the future of concussion litigation. Paul, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. So that's going to wrap it up here at Gervie's Law for this week. I hope everyone had happy holidays and a happy new year. We'll be back after the King's Bump next week, which will be in 2 weeks from now. Thank you for joining us. Gervie's Law in 2016.
Off to get my 50% off my Christmas decorations for next year.
Cool.